Good to see you all. A lot of people we haven't seen for a while. It's good to see you. God bless you all. It's been quite a week for me. My wife was gone for 2 weeks. That's ridiculous, Mary. But she came back. Thank you, Lord. Fighting the air flights and stuff, she did make it back, and I'm very thankful. And then we, just a couple days before she got back, a number of people on the farm that's been sick for a while passed away. So that was another experience that we went through this week. And so we went from kind of excitement to question, what in the world's happening? We knew that it was going to happen soon, and yet when it happens, death doesn't seem to, doesn't come easy for you. You think you got it under control, you've been with it for so long, and then all of a sudden it happens, and it's still different. It's still confrontive. It still says something about the regular patterns of our lives. Someone's missing. It's changed. And that's the way it is as human beings. God allowed death because of sin, and sin is real. And he stopped it, our lives at a certain time, so that wickedness would not prevail in the world, but that ultimately God's grace would prevail and give us something to prepare us for his complete work on the cross of Christ Jesus. Anyway, today, I don't know how this happened, but somehow I'm in Isaiah chapter 6. It just popped up in my reading, and I felt like this is this passage for Sunday. And I don't think I'm an authority on speaking on this subject, but it primarily deals with the holiness that we find in the Bible, the holy business of holiness, and what does it mean to talk about the holy God? What does it mean we're a holy people? Who is the Holy Spirit? And we call the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are holy. There's something there that is at the core of who we are, that we have somehow been brought into the realm of the holy, and we recognize it as holy. And we're not just talking about any old thing that's kind of strange and different as being holy. Holy has to do with the Almighty God. Holy has to do with God, His Son, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And the church is called holy because the church has been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, and it has become a part of the holiness. And sometimes we get thinking about, what's the church all about? What's salvation all about? I've heard someone say once, our salvation is not about, first of all, our happiness, but it's about holiness, first and foremost. And that's something we forget. We can easily, and it doesn't mean that happiness is not a part of who we've been called to be and who we are. And there is a happiness there, but it's something of a byproduct of a relationship with a holy God, and a holy Savior, and a Holy Spirit that we have as God's people. And again, we talk about holy all the time. In fact, people use the word holy blasphemously, and many, they don't even know it. I mean, there's holy this, and holy that, which is to me, is if according to the scripture, is blasphemous, because God only is holy. And that sets it apart. It's his realm. It's who he is. It's at the core of what's real and good and true and important and vital. It's that kingdom of God that's already begun in us and will be completed. It's the heavenly kingdom. It's holy. And it has to do with sin. I mean, it has to do with the fact that sin is not a part of the, has to be dealt with in respect to the holiness of God. And God has to dealt with it by giving his Son to us. So anyway, I got Isaiah 6. It's happened that Mitch picked the song from Isaiah 6 as his first song today. I thought that was kind of good. I don't think I talked to you about that, did I? No. He just did it. I mean, oh, God did it. Well, anyway, I felt like God was leading me with this today, but it was not easy to put it together. So if I'm not well together, you know, don't blame anybody but me. You know, it's just not together sometimes. Anyway, Isaiah's vision of the Lord in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And I'm going to start reading. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one called to him another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so we get to that which is this is at the core of what we're reading here in Isaiah is this holy encounter. And the scriptures have quite a few holy encounters, and they come in a variety of packages. This is the one that somehow stands out in my mind. I remember when I was my teenage, where we had to think about what we were going to do when we were growing up, and I kind of always felt I would be something to do as a pastor or something like that. So they asked me to, and other people, to give messages. And I remember one of the messages that was, it was my brother-in-law. He was also going into the ministry, and he gave this message of that he met the Lord, and in order to meet God to dispense the good news of the gospel and the word of God, that somehow that holy encounter was vital. It's vital to Isaiah. It's vital to us as God's people, and each of us, not just leaders, not just preachers, but it's important for all of us to somehow picture ourselves in the before the holy God. And what does it mean to be faced with the holy God? And there's a picture here of Isaiah is recording this from his. He says it was in the year of King Uzziah that Uzziah died. Uzziah was stability. Uzziah reigned for 52 years, which was pretty rare for kings at that time. And he went kind of crazy at the end because he kind of let the power finally go to his head too much and wanted to take over some priestly work. He wanted to get his hands doing the church, running the church, so to speak. And God stopped him, or the priest stopped him, the other priests, and they told him this was not good. And God gave him leprosy for the rest of his career. But anyway, Isaiah's thinking back of the days of Uzziah. Those were good days for many of the people because there was stability. People did mess up here and there, and they did get involved in crazy stuff of going after other gods in different areas. But Uzziah was generally doing pretty good. He did pretty well up until the last time. But anyway, Isaiah's thinking of this. This is what happened. This vision I had. Some of us may have had visions. Maybe some of you say, I've had clear visions. I mean, I know it was a vision. Others will say, I don't know if it was a vision. Maybe it was a dream. And it's a little bit of an area where we're not sure of sometimes. But it sounds like here Isaiah was seeing something very real. It was something that was right out of the heavenlies that came upon him, that somehow he was experiencing a encounter with God. And there's the picture. He's high at the throne. God's on his throne. He's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. I don't know. The only thing that comes to my mind is the train of a bride coming up the alley, you know, because some of us have had watched our bride come up the alley with her train following her. But if you could think of that, you know, the holy matrimony scene, and think of God's entrance into our lives and what it would mean to have the Almighty God encountered like Isaiah encountered him, that the whole temple was filled with his glory as God's presence came upon him in his vision. And then there was these angelic people spirits, angels that were around, seraphims and what's the other name? Cherubims. There you go. But anyway, and I used to think of how when I read that about with two we covered this and two of this and two of this, six wings, right? And two of them took care of his eyes because, again, of God's holiness, the brightness of God. And two of them took care of his feet, meaning he was kind of stopped up, I would think. But then it's hard to understand why. But it had to do with this holiness, that these angelic beings were represented God's holiness. And so anyway, those, and then the last two wings, he used them for what you'd think wings were for, and that was to fly. But anyway, this is the picture of this holy encounter. And they said one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, for some folks, I believe they see a picture of the Trinity there. Holy, 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 being that there's three persons in the Trinity. Others will say that it's an emphasis. He's saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And it crescendos into a louder and a louder holy as these angels sing before. And then it says that the whole earth is full of his glory. So somehow what's happening in the heavenlies has to do with what's happening on earth. The whole earth is full of his glory because of God being the holy God who is king of the universe. He is in control. It is his domain. We're not here just cast off someplace and let go. God is saying, he's saying the whole earth is full of his glory. And glory has to do with a seriousness about God and also a praising of God. One of the Greek words is doxa, or like we get the word doxology from. It has to do with praise. And that's a picture of glory. When that the angels are praising God and the earth is praising God, even though it seems to, because of the sinful natures of our human beings and the things that happen here, that glory gets stopped up. And the beauty and the glory that God has created here as part of his earth, we don't see it like it is. But these angels, as Isaiah confronts the living God in his holiness, he is given a picture, and we are hearing this about the whole earth is full of his glory. "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." There's probably where you get that holy smoke business, where what we've talked, said as kids, and we still say it sometimes. Again, it sounds blasphemous when you think of it, and yet it's probably where it comes from, something like that expression in the Bible, holy smoke. That smoke has to do with holiness. There's a fire there. I think the seraphims and there's something to do with those who are fiery creatures too. I think I read something about that there were, so smoke and fire was involved here. "And the whole foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And he said, 'Woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Can you imagine that picture? When the holiness of God is before a man, and this man is seeking God, and yet when God comes to him and he's encountered by God, what happens? Where do I go now? I mean, and that's the picture of Isaiah here. Woe is me. What can happen to me next? The fire is burning. I'm going to be caught up in the blaze or something. But I am lost. He says, I'm lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. He's supposed to be God's prophet. He's supposed to be, his lips are supposed to be turned over toward God. And yet he's saying, my lips are unclean. How can I possibly speak? I'm like all the others around. They have these mouths, but they throw all kinds of, spew all kinds of garbage out of their mouths every day. Even good people. The mouth just gets used for all kinds of garbage. And Isaiah, it sounds like, experienced that too. Woe is me. My mouth is unclean. For my eyes, but now as he, because he has seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. So in the midst of man's encounter with God, there is the atonement here that's expressed in the bitter taste, in the burning coal, the hot burning coal that was given him to take, to change his picture of being one with lips that can't possibly say anything good. Why should he speak? And yet God's took the tongue, or the tongs came, and he touched him in his mouth, and he, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And that is what happens also with our encounter with the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the one who has become our atonement. That the wickedness, the evil of our lips, the evil of our, of who we are, our sins, has been atoned for because of Christ Jesus. And without that, we too, we're unclean, we're hopeless, we're lost. And the prophet has been set free and given, and then he is told, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and say to this people. All of a sudden, after the atonement that took place for Isaiah, he immediately was ready to say, yes, I'm ready for anything. Now, that's a scary one for me. I mean, when I think of what it takes, what is God calling us to do? Is he calling us to give up everything? Are you sure? What does it mean for us to ask for the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives? I mean, that scares me. I mean, I think, I don't know if I can handle this. You know, preaching has been some of the most scary kinds of times in my life. Can I do this? I don't know. What right have I got to speak? Who knows that somehow I'm worthy, or that I'm clean enough? Or, I mean, it's a scary thing to think that somehow, if God says, I have a job for you to do, that I'm going to say right away, I'm ready to go. And I'm not sure. I want to be. I really want to be. And my prayer recently has been, increase my faith, increase my trust, Lord. I want to trust you with a trust that I have never trusted with you with before. I don't know where to go with that, because I get scared of almost anything that threatens me in some way. And without that, I mean, somehow we have to be released to believe that somehow God knows what we're capable of, knows what he wants of us, knows that he will supply what we need for what's in front of us. And yet I get scared really fast. If you want to call it anxious or whatever, I'm scared. And I would just as soon be left out of this. And yet Isaiah in his calling had to come to that awareness. God, the prophet, was supposed to be ready to speak. And somehow when he met God and came into the context of his holiness and has and his tongue has been, and his lips have been purified. He's set free to speak God's word and to believe that somehow he could do it. And I'll tell you, it's up to God. And that's hard to believe sometimes, that God's really taking on that, and he's really watching out for us, and he's going to take care of us. Because, yeah, it's not, when you're dealing with sinful man, we're dealing with our own sins, let alone the sins of the world, and we're dealing with that. It's scary, but God provided the atonement for Isaiah as he does for his children today. But then what God is calling him to do is really scary, because his message is totally negative, except for the last section. And the last section of God's assignment to Isaiah, it says this: the holy seed is its stump. In other words, Isaiah's got this message to proclaim that the people of Judah are going to be wiped out. And when they think they've been wiped out, they're going to be wiped out some more. And it's going to be, I'll read it, listen. This is what his message. Keep on hearing, he's got to say to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and land in a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. And then this last line, the holy seed, or the remnant, as it often is spoken of. The remnant is its stump. In other words, what's left of this tree that is Israel or is Judah will be wiped out completely except for that stump. And out of that stump, it's going to come back. But it's a remnant. And that's what we have. We have a message that we've been given. And it's not all sweet and roses. It's certainly heavy-duty stuff. And when we're talking about God's holiness, we're talking about some things that are very heavy, because it's a confrontation. It's an encounter with our sinful natures and our sinful world with the Almighty God. And we need so desperately to recognize that this is a battle that keeps going, and we need to hold fast. Like I say, I need to keep praying every day for more trust, to be able to hold on and to be faithful. And I pray that for you, brothers and sisters, that somehow you just don't quit, because in some ways it's a very dismal picture, but you know that the God you serve, the Holy One, is faithful and true. And he has given us a message of reconciliation. He's called us. In Jesus Christ, he's called us. Holiness is vitally important, to say the least. It's at the core of who we are. It's at the core of what we believe. Jesus is the Holy One. God the Father is the Holy One. The Holy Spirit is holy. And that's what we've been brought into as a holy people. And that makes us all the difference in the world. And we are too called to proclaim the message of God. And our lips may need to have them burned so that they're feel, so we know that we can do it, rather than feel like, I don't know, I'm speechless. I don't talk very well. But God deals with us according to what his purpose is. And if we're open, he will bring us through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a word today from your scriptures. Thank you for your holiness. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you that the glory of the whole earth is here upon us, and that you have given us this. Lead us and guide us, Father. Help us to continue to declare your praise and your power, your salvation to all the earth. Guide us as we live from day to day. Increase our faith. Encourage our hearts. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.